I'm Chloe Madeley and welcome back to the podcast. On this podcast, I speak to professional athletes, coaches, physique competitors, dietitians, and leaders in the field from all around the world. Thank you so much for joining me and I hope you enjoy today's guest. If you're new to the podcast, make sure you like, subscribe, review, and leave a comment. Thank you so much, guys. Let's get started. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the podcast series 4. So on today's show, I have an elite athlete. He is officially the UK's fittest man. He is a CrossFit Games national champion and actually the first CrossFitter we've ever had on the podcast, which is, I mean, we've gone off with a bang, I'm not going to lie. He is a men's health cover model and one of the best they've ever had, in my opinion. Next to my husband, of course. He is an Instagram force to be reckoned with. He is now a published author. So please welcome to the podcast, Zach George. Welcome, Zach.
Thank you for having me. That was an amazing intro.
Thank you. It's kind of my speciality on the podcast. Everyone's like, wow, what an intro. I'm like, thank you very much. I definitely tried doing my research, but I just have to say it. It's, I love that you've got a first name, last name, last name, first name. Say it once, say it twice, whichever you say it right.
Yeah. My middle name's that's Edward really as well, so that's the first name as well.
Oh my God, I just absolutely love it. So honestly, I'm really happy to have you here and there's loads that I want to get into with you. And I really didn't know where to begin because this is an episode that really could just go on for hours and hours and hours, which neither of us want. So what I think we should do is I think we should start from your very, very beginning. And I know that as a kid, like you really struggled with your weight and consequently your health, both mental and physical. So can you just talk my audience and I through your childhood and some of the struggles that you went through with it?
Yeah, sure. So I was pretty much exactly the opposite of what I am now. I was super overweight, very self-conscious of my body, never liked the way I looked. And I think I was just quite unhappy without realizing what I was unhappy about. I was around the age of 12, 13. I used to eat 4 or 5 takeaways every week, a big bag of Haribo every day after school, and I just loved junk food and hated exercise. And I think it all stems from my mum always wanted a really big family, and she had my sister who is 38, so it's about a 7-8 year gap between her and me, and then my mum had 7 miscarriages and then myself. So when I came along, it was kind of like a miracle she could have another child. And I think that kind of the amount of love she had for me kind of enabled me to really get away with a lot of stuff. So if I wanted lots of sweets and chocolate, she always felt it really bad to kind of deny me having those things, because I think she was just so appreciative of that I was alive, really. So I think it all stems from that. And I wouldn't change anything for the world, because I love my mum and my parents so much. But yeah, I think that's where it kind of stemmed from, me being able to get away with a lot of stuff. And yeah. I was age of about 12-13, and my dad tried to get me to lose weight quite a few times. And I think he was the realistic one in the parenthood, where he could see I was getting out of shape, I was really unhealthy, super overweight, and he could probably tell that I wasn't happy in myself and the way I looked. Whereas my mum loved me no matter what shape or form. She didn't want to say to me, look, you need to lose weight, because she just loved me so much, she thought I was perfect. So she couldn't really admit that. And I think they tried to get me to lose weight a few times, but it didn't really resonate with me. And then about the age of 13, the PlayStation 2 was out. And I remember that was the thing I wanted at the time. I really wanted a PlayStation 2. My dad said, right, I'll sit you down. If we put a plan in place, try and get slightly better nutrition in place, maybe exercise a little bit more and result, maybe lose some weight, I'll go with you and we'll buy a PlayStation 2. So a bit of good bribery did the trick. And I said, right, all I'm going to do is not have junk food maybe four or five times a week, or maybe I only have it twice a week. I'll try not to have a bag of Haribo after school every day, and maybe just have some fruit or half a bag. And I didn't really change my exercise routine too much. I basically just had probably 50% less junk. And obviously that's going to help with losing weight. And a month or two later, I remember we did like a weigh-in, measured my stomach, got on the scales, and it felt amazing to actually lose some weight, to feel good about myself, and losing inches around my stomach and fitting into clothes that I couldn't fit in before. And my dad was like, right, I'm super proud of you, let's go to Toys R Us. We went in, and Toys R Us was like the heaven when you're a child. It was just the best shop in the world. So I remember walking in and just it just a massive warehouse of all sorts of bikes, toys, and went in, got a PlayStation 2, bought a game, and yeah, I was extremely happy that we kind of set a goal, achieved it, and then the reward was the PlayStation 2. So I think that's what really kicked it all off. And then I was at a young age, so I didn't really understand the term of goal setting and achieving a goal, but that's essentially what we did. And after that, about a year later, we went to an Anthony Robinson seminar, and that seminar was all about motivation, goal setting, wanting more from life, and really kind of striving for more and not just being complacent. And after the 3 days, it was one of the most probably life-changing weekends that we've had as a family, and we all came away massively inspired. We learned a lot about nutrition and health. And after that weekend, it was the first time where I wanted to get in shape and be healthier for myself. And I didn't need any sort of external reward from anyone else. So I didn't need anyone to kind of push me or motivate me. It was the first time in my life I was like, right, I'm gonna sort myself out. I want better for myself. I want to be fit. I want to be happy in my body. I want to achieve a lot of things in my life. And that weekend was a massive kind of steer towards that. So I'd say that was probably the second catalyst that really got me into health and fitness was that weekend. And yeah, it's amazing that a weekend that I really didn't want to go to or moaning about going to ended up being such an impact on my life. So yeah, there was two major points, the PlayStation 2 and then the Anthony Robinson seminar.
It's I love everything you just said, and all my listeners will know and all my followers will know that I'm a really, really big fan of the goal setting approach. And I think there's been a huge pushback, especially in the female health and fitness community in recent years. There's been a huge pushback against setting goals, and everything very much in the female health and fitness space is very lifestyle, you know, and there's no, it feels like there's no room for people to kind of push themselves to achieve something, because weirdly, that's getting translated to some brackets as being kind of self-hatred and self-punishment. And I'm really anti that. I think exactly like you, as soon as I started setting goals, my life became a lot more focused, a lot more structured, a lot more disciplined, a lot more enjoyable. And actually, again, like I love what you say about the reward thing. There's again been a huge pushback in the female health and fitness community of like, you shouldn't reward yourself with food or, you know, if I do this, then I can X, Y. And I'm like, but that's denying basic human psychology, which you've just kind of summed up, which is actually, if I set myself a goal and I work really hard for it and I get there, then it's really important in order to make this a quote unquote lifestyle that I do reward myself and I do tell myself that, and now I've earned something. So you went to the seminar and you decided, okay, this is it. Now I'm going to actually start to take this seriously. How, when, and where did this start to translate into CrossFit specifically? From when you started being like, no, I want to train, I want to look great, I want to perform great. What was the kind of the segue into, okay, CrossFit is my jam?
Yeah, so I think from my experience of being an overweight kid, losing the weight and getting in shape, the natural thing for me to want to do was to become a personal trainer so I could use my experience and help others. And I was never a kid that would have benefited from going to university. I was never very strong academically, so I didn't think university would be the right route for me. So after school, I went to Loughborough College at the age of 18, did my PT course, which was a year course. And then halfway through that course, I worked in a gym and then became a fully qualified PT after the year and absolutely loved it. I worked in the gym for probably about 6 years, I'd say. It was great fun doing lots of PTs, teaching classes. I used to work in a gym called Nuffield in Leicester. I became the busiest PT in the Midlands for that company. When I was 23, I think it was, maybe 24, we opened a commercial gym. And at this point, I was just starting to know what CrossFit was. So my dad showed me a YouTube video of the CrossFit Games, and it looked amazing. And I hadn't competed in a sport for so long. And it's a sport where you've just got to be fit. So it was perfect. It looked so good. They were doing handstand walks, swimming, running, so many different aspects of fitness. And I thought, right, this is the sport that I want to get into, and this is the thing I want to do. I realized that, but I was so busy with work and I couldn't actually train CrossFit at the time, but I just loved watching it. So it was always in the back of my mind. And when we opened the commercial gym, that was the perfect time for me where I thought, right, if I own a gym, I can literally train as much as I want and it's going to be great and I'm going to be a great athlete within a year. And that's just the kind of naivety you get when you start CrossFit and you see all the athletes and you think you can get there within a couple of years. So I opened the gym in 2014. So it was me, my sister, and two other business partners. And again, I never really go into anything thinking I'm going to fail or thinking it's not going to work. And we opened the gym and it was such a hard 3 years. We just didn't had less time to train because it was your own business. You had to cover overheads. So we ended up working more hours and more PT because we had to bring in the money. We were teaching more classes, working 13, 14-hour days just to open the gym ourselves at 5:30 in the morning and then close the gym at 10 at night. And it just wasn't what I thought owning a gym would be like. After the first year, obviously you're just building it up, so you're not too worried about if you're making a lot of money yet because you're not going in your first couple of years. But I was still trying to train like the top CrossFit athletes were. So I was trying to train for 3 or 4 hours a day, plus working 12-hour shifts, plus doing PTs and teaching classes. And it was just too much. So after the 3 years, we realized that overheads are too much. We're not able to take a cut. We're doing ridiculous hours, but getting paid hardly anything for the last 3 years. 3 years had gone by, so I started to develop a little bit more strength and gymnastic capabilities in CrossFit. So I'd improved slightly, but nowhere near as much as I should have because of the amount of work I was doing. So after that, my business partner, who now I own the gym with, Harmeet Singh, he came to the BeFitter gym in 2016, and he could see my potential, but he could see how much I was working as well. And he was like, "You could be a top level CrossFit athlete if you maybe just work less and dedicate more time towards your training instead of trying to train like the people you're watching on YouTube and then working 12-hour days when they're literally professional athletes and that's all they do."
That's all they do. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's a big difference in trying to put yourself through all that stress and training and then working a full-time job on top. It's very tough to do. But when you're young and you're 24, 25, you kind of get away with it, think you're Superman and you think you just keep going. So I was getting pulled between wanting to be the top kind of CrossFit athlete that I know I could be, but then trying to run a gym commercially and coming to the realization that something that I've worked towards and dreamt of doing isn't what I thought it was going to be. And it's probably my first big failure that I've had in my career.
So you, when you transitioned into going full CrossFit from, really focusing on the gym and that really like kind of sucking all of your energy, how did you manage to go into like full CrossFit, which as we know is like absolutely carnage training? And I'm going to ask you a bit about that in a second as well, because that's what my listeners are really, really interested in. A lot of my clients and listeners are mad keen on CrossFit, and I am not a CrossFitter. How did you transition into doing that full time and then still maintaining and making an income?
So I closed the gym. Obviously, a lot of the people were devastated, and one of the members said, "Look, I've got a unit. Do you want to move into there?" So I was like, "Right, great, but it's going to be a CrossFit gym. We're only going to do classes. It's not going to be a commercial gym. The overheads are going to be a lot less." So we had a lot of people just transfer straight over, and me and Harmy, the guy I met a couple of years before that, he went into business with me because he was a CrossFit coach. And when I opened the gym with him, I always said to him, "Harmy, at one stage, my main priority is to be an athlete. So at some point, you're going to have to take a lot of the stress and coaching away from me." And he was like, "Right, yep, we're a team. And whenever you need that, I'll do it. And I'll work the hours to being able to allow you to train and recover and get where you want to be." So that was a massive help. So we opened that about a month and a half later. It was instantly busy because we had a lot of the members before. We just lost a lot of the sort of everyday fitness, sort of bodybuilder style members we had before. So it was just a CrossFit gym. We were only doing maybe six classes a day. So we split it 3 hours each, do a couple of PTs here and there, but enabled me to train for an hour and a half in the morning, have a decent rest, do a couple of PTs, do a couple of coaching bits, and then train after again. So it was still very intense, and it was still too intense to be a top level athlete, but enabled me to still train for a good year and really, really see a good development in my training. And then I started to win a few local comps and started to get higher up the ranks. And then a year later, about a year and a half later, I qualified for regionals, which is a major CrossFit comp in 2018. So regionals, you had to be the top 40 in Europe to qualify for regionals. Wow. So it was like the next big step before becoming a games athlete. So yeah. CrossFit's changed lots over the last sort of 2-3 years. But in 2018, being a regional athlete was a thing that not many people achieve. So once I qualified for regionals, that was the point where like Harmy really took a lot of the rain off me, and I was able to just basically train, teach 1 hour a day, and then train again, and then get enough recovery and rest in between. Yeah. So regionals was kind of the competition that allowed me to say like, right, yep, yeah, I am good enough to qualify for the games. This can show everyone that I'm good enough, and all that we've sacrificed in the previous years was worth it.
I love that. That's so, so, so inspiring. And I think everyone listening, and a lot of my clients ask me this about CrossFit athletes all the time. They're like, I know that you say that I should have at least one full rest day a week, preferably two. But I watch all these CrossFit athletes and they don't seem to be doing that. And they seem to be training every day and da, 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 da. And I'm like, well, first of all, if you're a professional athlete, which obviously you are, Zach, your whole Monday through Sunday week is dedicated to training and recovery. I mean, yeah. That is it. And when you're talking about someone with a full-time job who has kids, who wants to train because they really love CrossFit, it's like, whoa, 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 we need to actually try and optimize the actual training that you're doing and your recovery. And so one thing I wanted to ask you on their behalf, because I know they'll want me to ask you, is obviously everything I've just said, CrossFit athletes are like balls to the wall, doing some of the most amazing, fully functioning workouts that there are in the world. And obviously, you know, you have to program it like that to be competitive in the sport. So what does a standard week of training and recovery look like for you, being that kind of high level athlete that you are now?
Yeah, so for my training schedule, it's obviously changed depending on what part of the season I am at. But in the morning, I always do my cardio pieces. So at 10:30 every day, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, will be a conditioning piece. And that will change day to day. So it'll always be conditioning, but it might be long conditioning. So it might be an hour session. It might be sprint intervals. It could be swimming session. It could be competition workout stimulation, where I do previous comp workouts to see if I can beat my time. So it's always fitness, but it'll change within the fitness type throughout the week. And then in the evening, I'll do around 2 hours, 2.5 hours of weightlifting gymnastics. So that's including a big warm up, my actual training session, my gymnastics, and then a cool down and stretch mobility. And that will be the same every day. So Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, always 10:30, and then 5 o'clock in the afternoon till about 7:30. And then Saturday we train at 10:30, and then we train again at 1:30. So it's very intense training sessions, obviously training twice a day. Sunday will be either a swimming technical session or just complete rest. But it's really important how you said that my training regime I built up to over the last 8 years. So people couldn't just go straight into what I'm doing, because it's taken a long time to be able to build myself up, to be able to do that amount of volume.
Yeah, so you're training 7 days a week, and you're splitting. And this is, I mean, I would say this to my clients regardless of goals anyway, like cardio always should come first if you're going to talk about, okay, I want to do both. How do I get good at both? Which is a difficult thing to do in and of itself. But yeah, I would always say cardio first, eat, recover, chill, and then like do your resistance later. Then obviously if you're a CrossFit athlete, it's just mad to me that you throw gymnastics into that too. And then you're literally doing it 7 days a week, which is, I mean, absolutely like credit to you, because that's amazing. Do you ever have like deload weeks? Do you take like programmed kind of cycles away from training to let you recover? Or is it just that you have now got your body to a place where it's adapted to what you're doing, so you really can sustain that?
Yeah, so for me, I put in deload weeks around competition. So within CrossFit, you compete fairly when life's normal and you've got regular competitions up. You could literally do a competition every weekend if you wanted to, but obviously within my season, the main goal is the games. So I'll plan my deloads accordingly. But if I was doing maybe 4 or 5 competitions throughout the year, I'll do is make sure I have a decent deload after the competition. So make sure I'm fully recover. And then a couple of months prior to the comp, I'll have a deload just to make sure I'm not burnt out before the competition. I definitely put in deload weeks and make sure my body's feeling good. Or I'm very good at listening to my body. So I just know sometimes when I'm feeling fatigued or I'm getting a few niggles here and there, it just means I'm probably slightly overtraining. So yeah, you get very used to listening to your body and knowing when to step back and have a little bit of a chill week. But yeah, it's definitely planned into my competing season when I have competitions.
It's such good advice, and all my listeners and my clients will know that listening to your body, knowing when you're not sleeping well, knowing when like maybe your like hunger signals are a bit off whack, knowing if you're feeling really fatigued, you're picking up niggles, like everything Zach said, these are all clues. Like maybe you just need to take a rest day, potentially again like consecutive rest days, a deload week, and that does come with being quite an experienced, whatever kind of training you're doing, it does come with experience. But those are great kind of bits of advice from him there for you all to implement. And another thing I wanted to ask you, Zach, is what about nutrition? Obviously, you guys burn through like mad calories, and obviously you have to be pretty generous with all three of the macronutrients, you know, from carbs and fats for energy and recovery to protein for, well, recovery and basically basic strength and performance. How do you approach nutrition, and what does your kind of diet look like? Do you track? Are you kind of a bit more intuitive about it? How do you do it?
So I'm lucky. I work with a company called M2 Performance, and
Right.
Mike is my nutritional coach. So he just takes that load away from me completely and sorts out everything I need to do from a nutrition point,
Brilliant.
which makes it very easy for me because he just knows what sort of athlete I am. He gives me my macros. I also have a food sponsor, the Good Prep Company, who send me my meals. So Mike will basically look at my calories, look at my breakdown, what it needs to be. He'll basically tell me what I need to eat from the Good Prep. They'll send the meals accordingly, and then I'll just eat them throughout the day. So it makes it really easy for me, and I don't have to focus about if I'm eating too much, eating too little. I put all my trust into him, and then I can just crack on with my training, and I know I'm going to be fueled correctly. But for me,
Yeah, that's so helpful.
I'm a big athlete within CrossFit. I'm a lot bigger than probably 99% of people who do CrossFit. I don't actually eat as many calories as what people think. So I'm roughly on about 3,500, which someone who weighs 100 kilos and trains for 3.5 hours a day is not a lot. But I put on weight ridiculously easy. So it'll be good weight. It's not bad weight, but I'm already kind of in the off season 100 kilos. When I'm competing, I try to get down to about 95, 96. But even that is heavier than most CrossFit athletes. And if I ate 4,500 calories a day, I'd probably go up to about 105 kilos, and it'd be good weight, it'd be muscle weight, but it's just too heavy for CrossFit. So we've kind of worked, and this again, it's just experience of knowing my body and knowing how I react with eating certain foods, that 3,500 calories is the minimum calories that I can eat and still perform well, still be recovered, but still maintain my weight.
What's so interesting about CrossFit athletes is, my God, you guys, honestly, it's so impressive. You have to be super fit, you have to be super strong, you have to have, like, as you say, kind of gymnastic abilities, which means that you have to be carrying a lot of muscle, but you have to really, really watch your physique as you go so that you can do like these crazy muscle ups and these crazy gymnastic moves. And I find it really interesting. And you touched on something else I wanted to talk about there. So you do actually have to drop weight when you get closer to
Yeah, I do.
competition.
Yeah, for me, not many athletes probably would in the sport. They're just a good weight for CrossFit, so they can just train and just not really have to worry about that. Or some athletes have to try and put on weight, but for me, for me to get down to 95, 96 kilos, I have to be extremely strict with my diet. And I just can't maintain that all year round just because mentally it just burns me out. And I like chocolate and sweets. So I've still got that big kid inside me. So for me, again, just working with Mike, and I remember when I first met him and we first started working together, I was like, Mike, there's no chance I'm sticking to this diet all year round and staying at 95 because it's just not going to work for me. So for me, I hover around 100 kilos. And that's enabled me to have one or two cheat meals a week. So on the Saturday or Sunday, I'll have a cheat meal, and that could be anything from kind of pizza or Chinese to chocolate or sweets. And then when I'm about 3 months away from a competition, that's when I've got enough motivation and the goal's not too far away that I can say, right, the next 3 months I'm not having anything bad, and I literally just listen to Mike to the T. And just eat what he gives me. And then within that 3 months, I'll drop down to about 95, 96 kilograms. And everything just feels so much easier. I'm lighter, yeah, so
Really?
gymnastics easier, all the bodyweight movements are easier just because I'm lighter. I'm naturally a strong athlete, so my strength never really dips. So I never really see a dip in my strength when I cut weight. And yeah, I just feel such a more all-rounded athlete just because that 5 kilos makes a huge difference.
Oh yeah, I mean, I say it to my clients all the time, like if you're not dieting year round, and I think women have to get used to this, and obviously I work more on the physique side of things, whether it's lifestyle and women want to lose weight or gain some muscle, or like slightly more, I would say, like advanced physique. I always say to people, like, your women in particular, you're not going to feel that great, your performance is going to suffer, but one thing that you're going to be able to do a hell of a lot more of and do a hell of a lot better is like things like chin ups and pull ups. Like these are things which are going to improve, and I guess for a CrossFit athlete, this is the kind of exactly what you want to work for. So
Exactly, yeah.
and you feel strong, you feel like you recover as well, you just feel like you're better, but mentally, like, that dieting is like quite
Yeah,
fatiguing.
I just couldn't do it all year round. Again,
No.
it's just accepting the sort of person and your personality. So what might work for others is not necessarily going to work for you. So you've got to understand that. And just because the way I do things, it doesn't mean it's right for you or wrong for you, or but that's what I found works best for me. And I think that's really important advice to give to people is that you could compare me against another athlete and extremely strict with his diet all year round, never deviates, and that could make me think like, right, am I lazy or am I not doing it right, or why can he stick to that all year round and I can't? And it's just important to know that he's different to me, and things that work for him aren't going to work for me, and vice versa. So I just know the sort of person I am, and I know what works for me, and so I stick to that. And I don't think it's right, it's not wrong, it's just who I am and what works best for me. So it's really important, I think, that you get that advice across to people is that if you do things differently, it doesn't mean it's wrong, it's just it suits your personality better.
I completely agree with that. I think the mental approach is everything. So like there, I mean, I cannot be like you. Like, I can't diet year round. And would I have a better physique if I did? And would people always look at me and be like, wow, that's impressive? Yes. But would it make me miserable? Would it actually really hinder? Am I actually going to be able to do this for the rest of my life, which I want to do? I mean, and also for me personally, getting that lean, it's hard. It's really hard work. Like getting down to like 12% body fat for me is a slog. It doesn't come naturally. And like, yeah, dieting is, it is, it, it's very motivating initially. But it does become fatiguing, just like training, just like everything in life. And there does come a point where you actually need to accept, I'm not, like exactly what you said, I'm not the kind of person that can diet year round. It's just not going to happen. And I love that message from you. And one thing I love about CrossFit versus what I do, one thing that's much better about CrossFit comparative to me, is that so much of it is focused on your performance and how much of a fucking badass you are. And that's something that I think the physique community is lacking hugely. And I love that. And it kind of brings me on to your girlfriend Samantha. She's a CrossFit athlete as well, isn't she?
She competes in CrossFit. She wouldn't say she's a full-time athlete at all.
No.
She just loves competing in like the fun competitions and loves the community at the box and does CrossFit, once a day. I remember in lockdown when she was when obviously we're training from home and I was doing two sessions a day still, she tried to join in and she was like, oh,
No.
this is not for me.
I love that though, and like, your relationship looks like really good. Like you're very much on the same page in terms of, you know, your approach to your training and everything. And she clearly works her butt off as well. And she's an ex-athlete, isn't she? So she knows how to
She was
dig
a
in.
400-meter hurdler. She was kind of top 10 in the UK at a peak. She tore a calf
Oof.
probably when we met about 3 years ago. So I saw her compete a couple of times. Then she had a bad calf tear, so she kind of stopped. And she just didn't want to dedicate as much time. She'd already done it for probably 12 to 15 years, and it just got to the point where when you do something that for that long, it's hard to stay motivated with it. And it took so much time away from her life. And then when we met, obviously after a couple of years, she moved down to Leicester, well, up to Leicester from London. And she just didn't it just wasn't the right stage of her life to carry on anymore. So she knew it was time to kind of give that in and just enjoy a different style of training. So that's when she got into CrossFit. And she's
She's
super naturally
badass.
strong, and she picked everything up super easily. So now she just does it for enjoyment and does a few team competitions with the community at the box, which she loves.
So that's what I was going to say to her. I was like, I know she, I don't think, from what I can tell, I've just started following her, that she competes. But I was going to say, like, as an ex-athlete who's now dating you, Do you think that she probably will at some point be like, actually, screw this, I want to do it? Because I kind of think she will.
She loves the competing side for fun, and when she started CrossFit, I remember saying like, this is way harder than I thought. Like she thought, because she was a good track athlete, she could easily transition into CrossFit, and she's like, oh, I'm used to a bit of pain, like CrossFit can't be too hard. But she always describes it as when she was running, she'd have 50 odd seconds of pain. And within CrossFit, she's like, I've got that pain for 20 minutes and it's just not enjoyable.
Never ending.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is what kind of scares me about CrossFit is like, I like to think that because I lift weights and I happen to love cardio as well and fitness stuff as well. I like to think like, therefore I'm a well-rounded athlete. And just like literally this week, I did a 48-hour paddleboarding challenge. I mean, it's paddleboarding, like, come on. I was like, oh, grannies do it, it'll be fine. It kicked my ass. And then I look at CrossFit and there's a reason why I look at CrossFit and I'm like, no, I'm good, thanks. I'll leave that to you guys. Do you kind of love that pain? Does that
Yeah,
like
that's my
motivate you?
favorite side of CrossFit is putting myself in a hole in fitness sessions. Like I love that. And I think fitness is the most important part of CrossFit. You could be a really good lifter, really good gymnastics, but if you haven't got the fitness to put it together in a workout, then you're not really going to get that far. So yeah, she definitely has the potential to be a good athlete. I just Her main sort of thing in life is to be a mum and to be the best mum she can be. She's a very family oriented person, so I know she wants to dedicate most of her time towards that. So if she maybe found CrossFit 4 or 5 years ago, I know she probably would have given it a real go and just sacrificed a lot to be able to do that. But we're at the stage of our life now where we're thinking about our family, and yeah, she just not got the drive to kind of
That's not where she is. And that's another really important thing, I think, as well, for women especially. I think women get a really hard time of it, like what you should do, what you shouldn't do, and it's really annoying. And I think, like, actually, just like everything in life, it's transitory and your priorities will change, and you're not a bad woman if you actually are like, no, I want to be an athlete and
No,
I
of
don't want
course.
to have a kid, or vice versa, if you're like, no, I want to have a kid, I don't want to be an athlete. And I think women, I love it. I love your approach to the whole thing, Zach. I think for such an accomplished athlete, you actually have a really balanced point of view of it, which is really, really impressive. And so your new book, which is Start Where Others Stop, takes the reader through 9 strategies for optimizing mind body performance. And obviously we're not going to go through all 9 because we're not insane. But why don't we end on this? Do you want to, guys, first of all, I've read the book and it's brilliant, so
Thank you.
congratulations and well done. But it is very motivating and very inspiring, and it really does make you think like, okay, tomorrow I'm gonna nail this. And I think that's what a lot of beginners need. So do you want to just get leave everybody, people who really want to make a change, who don't know where to start, or maybe who have done in the past and have kind of fallen by the wayside, one thing, one strategy where you're like, I promise you, start here, implement this, and you can build from there.
I was going to give a quick sort of reason why I wrote the book, and it was last year I qualified for the CrossFit Games, and it was a kind of 7 8 year journey to be able to do that. And then obviously COVID hit and the pandemic, so I wasn't able to go. And I wanted to turn that setback into a positive, and one of those positives was writing the book. So if I ever have a setback, like this year with the injury, so I'm out of the CrossFit Games season, I always, at the end of the year, want to look back at the year and think, right, because of that setback, I achieved X, Y, and Z. And last year, one of them was the book. And I wanted to write a book that was about my backstory and give people a kind of perspective of being an overweight kid and what I went through. But then also, I wanted to for someone to read the book and, like you said, the next day, want to start goal setting and want to put things in place to maybe achieve a goal. And I find, especially this day and age, a lot of people put barriers up. They might say, I'm too out of shape to go back to the gym, or I don't have enough time, or I'm not good enough for that promotion at work that I want to aim for. And I want people to, once they've read that book, is to break all those barriers down and basically dream big and hopefully find inner motivation, inner confidence for people. And I think a lot of people are quite scared to dream big, because they're scared of failure or they're scared of what people might think. And I remember when I first got into CrossFit, as soon as I watched that first video, I said to myself, right, I'm going to one day compete at the games. And that's a very kind of big goal to make when you're just getting into CrossFit. But I knew it was a big goal, but you've got to aim high and you've got to, along the way, set lots of little goals along the way, which keeps you motivated. And I think that's
Yes.
probably one of the biggest tips I'd give people is that you've got to aim high, never be scared to dream big, and you've got to have that high end goal. And it doesn't matter if you don't quite achieve that high aim, but you just go below it or you stumble a little bit before that main goal, you've still already achieved so much more than what you would have if you would have aimed a lot lower. And I think it's
Yeah.
important to aim for that big main goal and then also set lots of mini goals along the way because that's going to keep you motivated throughout the whole journey. And I think that's my main tip I give to people. And for me, setting that goal 7 years ago to compete at the games, 7 years is a very long time to work towards something. But I think all the little goals I had along the way kept me motivated and kept me on track. So for me, it was first of all, win the small local competition. And then once I ticked that off, it was right, let's win a slightly bigger competition. And then it was to maybe qualify for regionals. And after that, it was then win a big competition. And then all those little goals get ticked off along the way. It keeps you super, super motivated. Like we said earlier, you've got to make sure you celebrate those small goals because that's a very important process of achieving a goal. You've got to make sure you congratulate yourself and you spend time rewarding yourself for the hard work you've put in and the goal you've achieved. And I think setting little goals along the way to that big dream goal that you might have is probably one of the biggest tips I'd give to people and something that I hope they take away from the book.
Oh, 100%. And I honestly, like I said, I could not agree more. And I really think, guys, it's exactly what it's like setting, like putting that big goal, like the star, set putting that star, like, okay, that's where I'm going to be, and be really patient about it. And then find every single foothold in the mountain before
Yeah.
you, like, to help you get there. And exactly what Zach said, and exactly what we were talking about, a few points ago. Celebrate your wins and don't feel like you're a bad person. And this again applies really for women because I know that they're getting a lot of heat at the moment. Don't feel bad if you have a goal. Don't feel bad if you want to be selfish about it. And don't feel bad if you actually, but from the goal community, want to celebrate your little wins en route because you need to
Yeah.
be motivated to, like Zach's saying, it took him years to get there, to reach that goal. Like, I think you're really inspiring and I really love your messaging. And like I say, I really like how you're very much an elite, high level athlete, but you have a very kind of realistic and psychological approach to how other people can do things in their life too. And you should
Yeah.
be really, really proud of yourself. So, okay, everybody, I'm just gonna, Zach, let you tell them where can they find you and what's your book called, and then I'll let you go.
The book's called Start Where They Stop. You can find it on Amazon and all major stores. And then you can find me on Instagram. My handle is Zach George. And then we've just started a YouTube channel, Zach George as well, on YouTube. That's one of the goals at the end of this year where I want to look back and because of this injury, I really want to develop a good YouTube channel.
Yeah.
So that's one of my goals at the end of this year. I want to look back and say, right, I've achieved that due to the injury I've had. So yeah, that's one of my main goals this year.
Yeah, turning negatives into positives. I think
Yeah,
that's what,
exactly.
if you didn't do it in COVID, then learn from those who did and get on that. Zach, thank you so much and have a lovely rest of the day. I hope your second training session goes well.
Thank you. Thank
And
you for having me.
yeah, thank you so much for coming on. And guys, tune in next week for another great guest on the podcast. Thank you for listening to today's episode of the podcast. Please make sure that you like, subscribe, and to follow wherever you get your podcasts to make sure you never miss an episode. If you're new to the podcast, please don't forget to catch up on series 1, 2, and 3 to learn even more about all the topics my guests and I cover, from nutrition to fitness, physique results, and more.
Sports Social Podcast Network.